In the words of Bob Ross, there are no mistakes, only happy accidents. That's the lesson today. Hello, everybody. Happy Accident episode number 18 is underway. My name is Josh Reach, and welcome to Design Chat with Josh. As always, in this design podcast, we are going to be talking about anything and everything design-related. And today, I know the title is Turning Language Barriers into Learning Experiences, but this is design-related. And it started actually about a week ago, a little over a week ago, actually maybe 2 weeks ago at this point. And it was me trying to use an app that I came across. I just wanted to play around with it, but the app was only in one language, which was not my language. And then the most recent learning experience with a language barrier, it wasn't really a language barrier, actually. It's a misleading title. Well, cultural barrier, differences, different geographic locations. And so it basically, what happened was recently this week, I was testing a design and I accidentally checked off worldwide instead of United States to test a quick idea I was doing, and ended up getting somebody from New Zealand and somebody from Canada to test the design by accident. And so though the person, both people, there was no language barrier, it was a cultural difference, a barrier in terms of their understanding of what I was testing, something that was very specific to the United States. And both of these instances, the app I was using and then the design that I was testing, even though there was differences in geographic locations and there were language barriers and cultural barriers and differences in understanding things, they both ended up being really, really great learning experiences. And the first one, actually, the app that I did not speak the language of, I'm still using, actually. I'm using multiple apps and kind of testing it. And I'll get into the details a little bit more, but I'm really excited because to me, this kind of opened up something that I don't know a lot of UX designers and product designers and people in general who will actually do this. And I'm not saying it's something that we should do often because obviously we need to understand our actual audience. But testing a design that you create with people who either don't know the language or they don't know the actual, like, you know, location differences, the cultural or industry differences, can really open your eyes to what does a truly fresh set of eyes think of your design. And I just immediately, I was like, oh, Bob Ross popped into my head. I'm like, happy accident. Like, you know, I wanted to try this one app, but I found out that I was able to use it despite me not knowing the language because of how well things were designed and how familiar the experience was, the flow, the UI. It was, things were located in places that I expected them to be, and they were called out in ways that I visually recognized, even though I didn't know what the buttons actually said. I knew, well, that must be the, you know, okay, move ahead button, and another thing must be a cancel button. And so it ended up working out really well. And then, as for the testing of a design that I created with somebody in New Zealand, it was exciting because, you know, what I normally would test with would be people who generally know the brand I'm working with. And it's a rather popular brand. So it was fascinating, actually, to see, you know, this user had no idea what it was, what the brand was. She had no idea what the product was. And it was still a learning experience. Okay, I'm going to get into the details right now. First, though, we're going to start with the happy accident number one, me trying to use an app from South Korea. Okay, that's right. An app from South Korea. This is a South Korean app. It's actually a pretty big company, and I know I'm going to butcher the name, and I should probably have Googled this ahead of time, but it's either Naver or Naver. N-A-V-E-R. I'm going to say Naver? Naver. Nope, I'm going to go with Naver. Naver is going to be the name I'm going to use. I apologize to the actual company and anybody in South Korea that is listening to this. But anyway, Naver is basically the Google of South Korea from everything that I've seen. They have absolutely gorgeous visual design. They also are the ones who own Line, which many of you may be familiar with. It's kind of like WhatsApp, only I think it's better because it has just better design overall, I think, and it has these amazing little characters that have become this kind of like cultural phenomenon, not just in South Korea or Japan. I think it also has quite a bit of Line stores from what I saw. I think, I mean, well, they were selling Line stuffed animals, but just look up Line, you know, the chat app. But anyway, Naver owns this Line brand, basically. I think they may have bought them out. But I'm not here to talk about Line. I'm here to talk about Naver because I downloaded it, and basically what I wanted to look at was it came up in a, I think it was a Korean drama that I watched. And yes, I am one of those people who watches those Korean dramas. I used to watch them on Drama Fever, and now I watch them. They're on Netflix now, and they're phenomenal, and I'm just hooked on them. Well, anyway, I think Naver came up in one of the apps. Oh, and I also saw that was the other thing that pushed me to it. Also, was so from seeing it in the like Korean drama episode, I had also seen it very shortly after in somebody's profile, one of their Naver blogs, for an Instagram photographer that I was following. I don't know if they're really a photographer, but they do great photos, and they're from Korea, and they had a link to Naver, and I was like, oh my God, there it is again. And so that was the other thing that kind of pushed me to try it out. And so it started with Naver, and then I kind of found like the main, basically think of it as like the main Google site, and then think of it like the blog is like a blog, but they have all sorts of apps. Okay. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna check this out. So I checked out Naver, and of course, you know, when I loaded it up, and I have it up on my iPad right now, this is gonna be a riveting podcast to listen to as I talk about what I'm seeing, and you're not actually going to be able to see it. But anyway, it's all in Korean. And I'm like, damn. And I couldn't find any place to translate the whole thing to English. And in the Naver app, there is an actual like translation button, but it's not throughout all of their products, not throughout all their apps. And the main home screen does not translate into English. And rightfully so. It's a Korean platform, a Korean app. But anyway, I thought, wow, this is fascinating. And I just started going through. I'm like, I'm curious how well me, somebody who only speaks English and very, very little Spanish, can go through a Korean app. Like, how well can I get through? How well can I navigate through and understand what these different sections are? And then I took it a step further, and I actually created an account with Naver, and I have my own account. I actually have my own blog with them now. I have my own email address. I have, you know, I've kind of gone full. I'm fully committed to this now. But as I was going through it with iconography and the placement of buttons, and the you know, general layout as well, the way things were sectioned out. I mean, there's some logos on this homepage. This looks like a news site logo. And if I go here, yes, it's a news. It's definitely, those are news anchors for sure. But I'm able to navigate through most of this Naver app without a problem because it's designed so well that even if I don't speak the language, I know how to navigate through things. I know when a prompt comes up, there's a cancel button and like an okay button. And I was able to actually identify, okay, well, the OK button is always on the right side, and they bold it for the, I believe it's bolded for the OK. And, you know, the action that they really want you to take, basically. If it's something like you're deleting something, you can hit cancel, and it popped up with the cancel button bolded. So I kind of knew from the boldness of the buttons what I was supposed to click on. I mean, and this is just good design, you know. I mean, it's there is a few English words scattered throughout, but it's to me this was like now becoming a full experiment. So after I got the Naver app and started going through it, I got the Naver blog app. I created a blog. I tried to find some of these Instagrammers that I was following. I followed their blogs. Everything is in Korean. I'm looking at the blog app right now. I have no idea what these things say, but I'm able to navigate through, look at the pictures, and actually enjoy at least the photos of these blog posts. And I mean, this one has some pretty fantastic looking food. Oh my goodness. I'm, you know, and oh, and it has a map of, see, that's the other cool thing. It's like these blogs, when they post a photo of these restaurants and stuff, some of these bloggers are posting the location. And I do plan on going to, actually, this is in Japan. No, this isn't in Japan. Where is this? Oh, it's in Europe. Well, anyway, I plan on going to South Korea someday. It's on the list of many, many, many places I want to go visit. So, to me, like, I'm finding all sorts of cool places to go eat now and to go shop at because I'm following these, you know, Korean Instagrammers and their blogs. And yeah, this is another one that has, yeah, this is definitely in Korea. And it's in Seoul. So I'm able to see where they're going and bookmark it. I have no idea what they're saying, but I'm able to see it. Now, I have cheated a few times and I have screenshotted some things that I really wanted to know what they were saying, brought them into Google Translate and highlighted the text and translated it that way through Google Translate. And nowadays, I feel like language barriers are becoming a thing in the past because we can use tools like Google Translate. But the navigation and getting around this app and all of these apps that Naver offers, I mean, because not all of them will automatically switch to English based on my device. You know, they're just so well designed that I'm able to get through it, you know? And so I started to think, like, what, you know, it would be nice to test my design. And this isn't really something I can do with like an online tool that I use or really any of the remote tools, but if I could test a design, maybe the next time I travel abroad, I'll test a design I have by showing it to somebody who doesn't speak the language, I mean, speak English, or speak English very well at least, and has no concept of the industry or the product that I'm showing them, and kind of see like if they could navigate through it, you know, just hand it to them and see if, I mean, I know it's a weird, like, I know some people listening, like, if I'm traveling abroad on vacation, the last thing you want to do is like do any user testing, but when you really love what you do, sometimes you can't help yourself. So that, seriously, it's on my list. Like next time I travel overseas to, especially to a country that maybe doesn't speak a lot of English, you bet your butt I'm going to be testing some of my apps now, because this is just a great testament. And so I'm taking cues from Naver now and learning some of these best practices of like, you know, yes, my audience is not in South Korea that I designed for, and no, my audience does not speak primarily Korean. It's primarily English. And you know, and I'm really designing for within the borders of the United States. However, these good lessons, these visual cues, you know, there still are, I believe, literacy rates that, not I believe, I know that there are low, there's literacy issues, I should say, not rates, there's literacy issues where people may not know how to read and write. There's even sometimes where in the past I've had to design for a fifth grade reading level. Here in the United States, because it's part of like a federal compliance, basically, or something, or you know, where a certain whatever you design for certain things, you have to design for a really low grade level because there are unfortunately parts of even America, especially America, where people don't know how to read and write very well. They're not very articulate. So if you're designing a product, it should be, it really depends on your audience, of course. You know, if you're designing more for an intellectual audience, then okay. But if you're generally, you know, designing for the general population, you know, this is a good testament to, you know, see if your design can work with somebody who doesn't know the language. I don't, you know, it's just because your visual cues and the layout should be easy enough for them to understand, for anybody to understand. Doesn't matter if you speak the language. And so it was a happy accident. And so I mean, I've downloaded, there's another one, it's called Fuller. It's like, it's basically, Naver's, I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name, but it's basically Naver's, answer to Instagram. And I kind of like, it's like an Instagram meets blogger kind of thing. Like you could tell a story with it. I really like it a lot actually, but obviously nobody really speaks, or I mean, they may speak English, but they're not using English. They're using, you know, speaking in Korean on this app. But I've been on it, and it's been interesting. I've been finding great places to go visit, beautiful photos of places of food that is unbelievable, not just in Korea, but all over the world. on. These are some very well-traveled people. And so, but again, this is another app where I'm able to go through. I know where to like, where to comment, bookmark, share on each post because the iconography makes sense to me. I know that that is the location. I'm pointing at something that's a gray text, small gray text next to the person's username. And I know it's a location because there's a little pin marker right there, you know, and I could tap up. Yep. I could tap on it. Still have no idea what it says, but there's a location. I could bring it into Google Translate, I'm sure. And it's amazing. It really is. It really is amazing. And if you do use it, I encourage you to like go out there and download Naver, especially if you're here in the US and you don't speak Korean or you don't read or write Korean. Go and download the app and see what I mean. You know, and I'm now on the quest to find apps in other languages too, not just in from Korea, but from all over the world. I want to download some of these apps and see if I can navigate through them. And if I can, you know, figure out why it was so easy and what cues I was given and what layouts were used and what flow was used for me to actually understand how to get through something without actually technically reading it because I don't understand it. So it was a little happy accident, and it's been so much fun. And it's kind of this neat, like, you know, you kind of broaden your views a little bit more when you're, it's like traveling overseas, you know, like traveling, when I traveled to Japan, I didn't speak Japanese, you know, I just knew hello and thank you. And that was pretty much it. I tried to learn, but my retention when it comes to learning languages is awful. I'm somebody that has to live and breathe it for a while to actually pick up on it. So, but it's very humbling to go into a place like that. And you kind of take a moment to just take your time going through things. And that's kind of the way it is in these apps. If you're in an app and you're navigating through the app and you're able to get through it because it's well-designed, you also are kind of taking in a bit more, taking in more of the photos, taking in more of the design. It's kind of a neat experience. Anyway, I encourage you to do it. Now let's talk next about happy accident number two, when I actually accidentally tested a design that I created with somebody from Canada and somebody from New Zealand. Well, before I go, one quick thing though, before I go into the happy accident number two, I do want to share another app I discovered from Naver, which was their smart board. It's a keyboard basically for iOS. I'm sure it's for Android as well. And it has a pretty powerful translation tool. So I can type something in English on that keyboard, and above the keyboard at the top of it, it'll have my English typing. But then in the actual form field of whatever I'm filling out, or the message or URL, whatever it may be, it's translating it instantly into Korean. And you can do it, you know, of Korean to English. You can do it, you know, English to and Korean to many different languages. They have a couple different languages that you can translate to. But it's pretty amazing. It's like an instant translation. So there's no copy-paste, you know, from Google Translate to whatever box or field that you want your text to go into. I thought it was really cool. So yeah, download the Naver Smart Keyboard. Give it a try. It's got some autocorrect, like, it's not as powerful in auto-correcting and correcting English grammar, but it's still pretty good. I've been enjoying it, especially being on these apps that, you know, everybody is speaking Korean. Okay, so happy accident number two was my mistake. So I was actually testing my design, and I didn't tick the box that said United States, and I left it checked on worldwide. And surprisingly enough, I mean, I did have English checked, so they had to speak English at least. So this wasn't really a language barrier, like I said earlier. So a little bit of a clickbait headline there, but of this podcast episode. But the cultural barrier, though, there was a barrier because what I was designing for was just in the United States, and I had no need to test worldwide. There's no international audience for what I was designing for, and at first, I didn't realize I'd done it. When I came back and I saw the list, I always like to try to get to know the users a little bit more on their backgrounds and you know, geographic location, just to understand, you know, maybe some United States, you know, U.S. cultural differences, basically. You know, if somebody from the Southeast, you know, may think a different way than somebody from the Northwest. And I, again, I'm aware of these things because I've lived in all these corners of the country. So it's something that I've actually firsthand seen. So anyway, so I like to get to know the user. And so I'm scrolling through the list and I see Canada in there. And I think, oh God, what did I do? I'm like, man. And I keep scrolling and I see New Zealand. And I'm like, damn it. I didn't check the right box. And it's the first time this has actually happened with all the testing I've done where I messed up and I didn't set it to the United States. I only set it to worldwide. And at first I was like, okay, I got to relaunch this. I got to do another test, two tests. You know, those are duds. They're not going to be useful. And then I got thinking, wait a minute. We were just talking, the team and I earlier, like it would be nice to have a fresh set of eyes, somebody that is not familiar with this widely popular brand. And it would be nice to have somebody that could look at it and give us a perspective of like, is this design clear enough in explaining what this brand is or what this product is? And in this case, it was kind of an informational design that I was creating. It wasn't marketing, but it was more of an informational type design, part of a different experience. I'm not going to get into details about design. It doesn't really matter what the design is. The point is, I actually found a lot of value in having a truly fresh perspective of this brand. And it happened to come from a lady in New Zealand and a lady in Canada. And they were fantastic. Actually, the lady in Canada had a British accent. So I'm assuming that she wasn't originally from Canada. So she's even more, maybe more culturally diverse than I had expected. But what was really cool, though, was they didn't, not only did they not know the brand, but they didn't know the industry I was designing for and how complicated that industry can be. So to them, there were things in there that were mentioned that a normal American citizen would know, but they didn't. And I was able to see if the way I designed this stuff, was it easy enough to catch at a quick glance? Was it well enough designed to actually understand how this product worked? And sure enough, it actually did. It actually worked really well. They actually kind of got to, there was some holes in things outside of the brand that again, Americans would know about, but they didn't because they don't have anything like that, or they have better things in their countries. Again, I'm not going to get into details here, but the point is, it was really enlightening. It was really interesting, and they were actually very enthusiastic. They knew it was a U.S. Product that they were looking at. I think because the test actually showed that I was from the U.S., when they started scrolling, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm sure if I lived in the United States, I would know what that meant. But this is what I think this is all for. And they explained it really well. And I actually verified that, okay, most of what I designed, not everything, but most of what I designed was clear enough and simple enough for anybody, even somebody who's not from this country, to understand. And I don't think this will work for every design. I think, it would be a wasted effort to always be testing with an audience that is not your audience. I wouldn't always test with an international audience. I don't see a use for that, really and truly. Not all the time. But in this instance, it was kind of a first impression test. So it was very much, it could work fine in other countries or with somebody else from another country. If I just wanted to simply get a point across, was this intuitive enough to use? Was it intuitive enough to understand the information that was being presented? And it was a happy accident number two. And this is what's kind of spawned this whole episode, is I'm thinking, we always get stuck in our bubbles, right? And we should always focus on our user base or the target market that we are trying to get a product into, right? So we should focus on those users. But I think there's value in including international users. And this goes for anybody. If you're a designer in Germany and you're designing something for, a German or even just a European audience in general, maybe test it with some Americans, or test it with, maybe somebody from, South Africa or something. I'm trying to think of places that speak a lot more English. than normal. You know, or if, I mean, find a place. If you're in Portugal and you're a designer, test your design maybe in Brazil. I don't know if there's a lot of crossover between those countries if usually you design for, but I know you both speak Portuguese, you'd be able to get a perspective of, here's this European system or this European product. How does it work with somebody that's not familiar with Europe at all? You know, and test it with somebody. And that's only, again, if you have tools. There's tools out there, by the way. These are tools to test online, okay? So obviously, I'm not talking about going to these countries and testing this stuff, but if you have those online tools, one, for instance, that is my favorite is usertesting.com. If you have one of those tools, you can use that to test with an international audience, and it doesn't like cost you anything extra, you know, for the most part. I don't know about the other ones out there, but you know, for the most part, it doesn't cost you anything extra. So give it a try, you know. And maybe you even set up a special test with an international audience and say, this is a product for, you know, the United States, but what do you think of this? And how well do you, you know, we want to see what it's like for you. You know, and knowing that you don't know how this industry works over here in America. I think I'm curious if anybody else out there has done this. And this might be a common thing for product designers. You know, if you know, are testing something or designing something, I should say, for a specific country, that the country that you're in, for instance, do you ever test with an international audience? You know, even though you may not even have an international user, but do you test for those audiences? Do you ever go outside of your limits of your users, outside of that group, to test something just to validate whether or not, you know, what you're designing with a fresh set of eyes and no knowledge at all of your brand or your product? Do you ever have them test? Do you ever have one of those groups test? Because I think there's a lot of value in this. I could see this being something that, you know, as like an extra measure to test usability, an extra measure to test, you know, whether or not a design is communicating something the right way. I could see this really more for almost for a marketing team. It'd be more valuable for them almost, but for product designers too, though. You know what? It's kind of an interesting idea. I could be crazy. Let me know if I'm crazy, but I feel like this is, I'm onto something here. It might be pretty cool, or it might just be a common practice that, yeah, everybody has in their back pocket. Who knows? So that's kind of all I got today, and I think I'll leave you with one more little kind of tidbit of advice is, and I know this will be easier for some people than others because it really depends on the place that you work, but if you work in a place, and I do work in a place that is very diverse, we have a lot of different cultures. We have a lot of people from different parts of the US and a lot of people from different parts of the world. And everybody brings something different to the table. And so when you are testing designs, language barrier or not, there might be a cultural difference. And so you could kind of test the design and show something and get that feedback from that diverse team that you may be on. Because they're probably going to shed some light on stuff that you and anybody that is, you know, maybe the actual target audience of your product might automatically understand, or you might assume they should understand, but it may not be clear enough in your design of what you're communicating. You know, I may not be communicating the product clear enough to somebody who's not familiar maybe with the specific industry, even though they do live in the US. You know, and I'm, even people who do live in the US and are familiar with the industry that I'm designing for, you know, that doesn't mean I should make it complicated. I should make it as easy to understand as possible and make them think less. So, you know, testing that design with somebody who has a fresh set of eyes, not just to the design, but maybe to the entire culture and to the country, it could be a really, really valuable thing. So embrace that diversity. You know, it only benefits and adds more amazingness to the teams. So that's all I got. And I'm, again, like I said, I'm curious if anybody else has done this, if you've tested outside of your user base, even outside of your country when it comes to a design, just to see as a double check, is what you're designing intuitive enough, for somebody who has zero knowledge of that product or that brand. Just an interesting thought. And of course, we're going to finish off the episode with my shameless plugs. And That is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please, please, please leave a wonderful rating and review in your podcast platform of choice, if they allow you to leave ratings and reviews. Basically, I'm talking to you Apple Podcast people. Leave a nice little rating, leave a nice little review. Let me know what you like. Let me know what I can improve. And of course, you know, to answer any of the questions I asked today, reach out to me at, you know, via email, chat@joshuareach.com. Or Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, you Google me. A lot of you have found me in various ways. And of course, you know, the audio recordings through Anchor are always an amazing way to leave a little message and ask a question or leave feedback on an episode. And that's all I got. Thank you all so, so much for listening. I hope this was useful. I hope this maybe sparked something. It got me excited this week, so that's why I figured I would share. Until next time. My name is Josh Reach, and this has been Design Chat with Josh. See you in episode 19.